remember to record. There we go. I hope where we go. Yeah. Today's Mishnah Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is the ninth perek, perek Machat. Okay. So we continue now our discussion of what is considered to be the toch of a klicheres in order to be mitameh or mitameh from the toch. Now, suppose you have a metal machat, you have a needle, or you have a ring. Shenimtzu b'nechushto shel tanur. These things are in the bottom of the tanur, but they are in the earth underneath the tanur, so you can see them, but they're not sticking up into the tanur. Is that considered to be the airspace of the tanur, or does it have to be surrounded by the actual walls of the tanur in order to be toch? So they're near in, you can see them very clearly visible. You look down from the top of the tanur, you look down and you see a ring on the ground. Avaloyotzim, but they're not sticking up into the airspace. Oh. What defines the airspace is not necessarily the walls of the tanur. What defines the airspace is how low will the dough that you put around the side of the tanur as it's baking, how low does it sort of drop down towards the ground? Im ofet abatzek, if when you put out your pitot while the dough is still wet, it would touch this needle, so then it's considered to be tamei, and the whole tanur will become tamei, because that means it's part of its airspace. What type of dough are we talking about? Obviously, I mean, we're not talking about a very loose dough, which is going to sag. We're talking about a batseka benoni. We're not talking about a very tough dough either, because then it wouldn't sink. So we're talking about a medium type of dough. There's always a certain amount of sagging of a dough when it's placed along vertically, remember, the way that they would make pitot. And therefore, it's a batseg benoni, and that would be the determining factor. Nimtzu b'tfeilata tanur mukaf tzamit patil. Now, here's a very fascinating thing. We have a tanur, and this tanur is covered completely, tightly covered, and it's inside of an ohel hamet. Now, inside of the wall of the insulating material is a needle or a ring that is a perfectly kli matechet, which is mekabel tumen and ohel hametz. So the question is, since this tanur is not mekabel tumen and ohel hametz, is the thing that is a kli matechet also protected, since in this case it's within the actual insulating material? So therefore it itself would also be protected or not. So the halacha is like this. Im bitamei, if the oven itself was tamei, anything tamei cannot protect from an ohel hametz. Remember, the halacha in general is, if you have a kli that's tamei, there is no way that can ever be chaytzitz b'fnei hatum. It doesn't matter what it's tamei from. Even if it's just tamei sheretz, it's no longer usable as a mechitza or as a protection of being mukav tzamit posil. So if the tanur itself was tamei, so then for sure the needle is going to become tamei. But if the oven itself is tahar, so then, since this is part of the oven, and it's not in the oven. Now, why is it important for it to be part of the oven and not in the oven? Because we are going to see that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel or Meideh, that in a case where you have a metal kli inside of a kli cheres that is mukaf tzamit basil, even though midiraisa, there's no penetration of tamei mace into the oven at all. Midrabanan, there is a brilliant reason, which is quite complex, which we'll get to soon, why it will not shield a metal kli. So if the needle was inside or the ring was inside, since they're made out of metallic gold, silver, whatever, it would be makabel tuma mirabona. But since over here, it's not inside the kli, it's actually part of the kli because it had fallen into the mix when they made the insulation. So then it's considered to be part of the tanur, and the tanur is not tame, neither is the tabat. Now, the same thing would be true if they were inside of a magufat hachavit, except it's the opposite of the ground. Obviously, let's say you have the closure, and when they made this cover, they didn't realize that a ring had dropped in to the cover, and now the same thing that we had before, where you could see the ring on the bottom of the tanur. In this case, you can see the ring on the bottom of the cover of the tanur. But again, it's right at the edge, and it's not sticking into the airspace. We have the same problem we had in the other, except in the inverse. So, nimtzu b'magufat hachavit. Let's say they're inside of the cover that's made also out of earthenware, over a barrel. So then it would depend if they're mitzideha tameim, and there's tamei meis in the house. So now, if, remember that the cover often has a little bit of extra clay that's sticking out to the side, and that you can use it to pick it up, but it's not part of the tzamit pasil of the chavis itself. So if they're to the side, and that's where they're embedded, so then they're tameim, because they're not part of the chavit itself, and therefore they're not protected by the tzamit pasil. But if they're in the part of the cover that is keneged the mouth of the barrel, keneged pia, then they're tar, because they're definitely part of the barrel. Now, how about if they're nearing bitocha, you can actually see them. Let's say if you would put your head inside of the tanur and you look up, you would see the needle, you would see the ring at the bottom of the cover that's above you. But they're not sticking into the airspace. It's exactly the same as our opening case, but it's the inverse. So near imbetocha avolola avira. There too, it's considered to be tohar. And even if they are sticking into the airspace, but they are covered with a thin layer of porcelain, so you can see them inside of the porcelain, that is not considered to be in the airspace. That's considered to be still part of the cover. So even if they're shokin betochta, they are sticking into the airspace, but a little bit of earthenware porcelain surrounds them, kiklipata shum, even though it's like almost the thickness of a peel of garlic, which is almost invisible. That's why you can see straight through it. They still are going to be tahar, because they're still part of the chavit. Now, here is the machlokas that I mentioned to you before, on which this Mishnah had been based. So the second Mishnah, which is often the derech of the Mishnah, first we take the thing that's lahalacha, and then we talk about its background. And here's the background to that whole idea. You have a chavit, so you've got this barrel. Again, of course, we're talking about cheres over here. And it's full of wine, let's say, right? And these mashkin are tahorim. And you've got inside of it a siphon. Very often they would just have a siphon that you could pull out and suck on it, and then the mashkin would start coming out on their own. And that's called a meneket, because you suck on it. So it had this metal meneket inside of the barrel. And now you've got the entire thing covered, and it's covering the meneket, which is made out of metal. So the whole thing is mukefet samit patil. Beit Shammai says the most surprising thing. He says that the chavit and the mashkin are tohar, but the meneket made out of metal is tamei, which seems to be crazy. Because, why the reason would be that something would be tameh inside of a tzamit patil is crazy enough. But then to say that even though it's tameh, it was not metameh, the wine inside of the barrel or the barrel itself, seems even crazier. If you're going to tell me the meneket is tameh, So then obviously it was Metame, the wine, which it's sitting in. And yet, amazingly, Beit Shammai does not say that. And Beit Hillel says, that makes no sense at all. Af Meineket Torah. Of course the Meineket would be Tahar. But in the end, Chazru Beit Hillel, Lohorot Kedivrei Beit Shammai. In the end, they ended up being maskim, and this is very similar to the story in Chagiga, where something that seemed crazy from Beit Shammai, after they explained themselves, Beit Hillel were bamish embarrassed. And they said, oh my God, we had no idea if something that's crazy makes so much sense. God only knows what the things that make sense are. We should really be paskening like you. So what is the reason? This is such an amazing, classic Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai was always sensitive to the ultimate implications of a halacha. So consider the following situation, which Beit Shammai does often in Chagiga. Remember, we've got our problem of chaverim and amei ha'aretz. So the halacha is that to a chaver, we're always choshesh that what an amei ha'aretz has is going to have been made tamei by his wife sitting on it or something. And since he's not sufficiently aware of the chumras of the dinim of tuma, we gave his dinim as a din for a chaver as if it's tamei midras. Now, the problem is like this. Oftentimes, I mean, the bottom line is you have neighbors, and very often your neighbors are amei ha'aretz. It's an impossible situation, socially speaking, not to be able to share among neighbors. And therefore, we needed to rely on amei ha'aretz on one thing. And what is that? Tumas meis. Why? Because, you see, there's never a problem of borrowing something from an amei ha'aretz or lending your things to an amei ha'aretz, because even though you're worried that they became tamei, you just put them in the mikveh. But if you'd have to be chayshed an amei ha'aretz from tamei meis, then you can't put them in the mikveh, because now you've got a problem. You need 7 days, you need pay for paraduma, and so on and so forth. The truth is that amei ha'aretz are very makbid on the dinim of tumas meis. So it was no problem. If an amei ha'aretz would tell you that this thing was not exposed to a meis, would he have to worry about it was exposed to a meis? What are the chances it was exposed to a meis? So because of that, it wasn't a problem. So metal, kalim, you could always borrow from amei ha'aretz. You could never borrow a kli cheres because there's no way to be matayer a kli cheres. You can't put it in a mikveh. You'd have to break it. So obviously, it's that something they wouldn't be able to borrow, but at least we wouldn't have a complete breakdown. Now, the problem is like this. As we saw in the first Mishnah, if the kli is itself tamei, even if it's only tamei from a sheretz, it cannot protect with its somit pasil. So now we've got a problem. Because if we will say that the kalim of an amei ha'aretz are tamei, then we can't borrow any kalim from an amei ha'aretz. Why? Because we ask the amei ha'aretz, is this metal kli tamei meis? Of course not, he'll say. Now, the truth is, to us, it is tamei meis. Why? Because it was inside of the oven where there was a meis in the house. The oven was completely tahar to the amei ha'aretz. But to us, the oven amei ha'aretz is not tahar. So the amei ha'aretz, when we ask him, was this exposed to a meis? No, absolutely not. Why? Because he's right. From his standards, the oven was tahar, was covered, and protected whatever was in it, including this metal kli, or the meineket. It protected it from the tumas meis. We can't tell the amei ha'aretz that your kalim are all tamei. That was part of the problem, that we'd never be able to borrow anything. Therefore, says Beit Shammai, came along the Rabbanan, and they made a takana that metal kalim inside kli cheres are never protected from a meis for anybody. So now the amei ha'aretz knows that that's the halacha. He doesn't realize the reason for the halacha is because his kalim are considered to be tameim. He thinks that's the din. Okay, so because of that, now we can go back to borrowing metal kalim from amei ha'aretz, because if we ask them, was this exposed to a meis? He'll say, oh yeah, it was, because after all, a kli cheres does not shield a kli matechet. So he'll tell us it's tamei meis, not realizing that he's buying into our read of his kalim. Therefore, when Beit Hillel understood that that was the basis of saying that the Mineket is Tamei, they said, oh my God, that's ingenious. So Lemaise, it's not that the Mineket is really Tamei, and that explains why we have this crazy din. The Mineket is Tamei, but the wine that the Mineket is touching is Tor. How's that possible? Because the Mineket isn't really Tamei. We're treating it as if it's Tamei in order to prevent the problem of not being able to borrow Kalim from Amayaritz, you see? Ingenious. So Chosru Beit Hillel Horot Kedivrei Beit Shammai. So in the end, Beit Hillel had to go ahead and agree that Beit Shammai was ingenious, and that's exactly the point. Okay, so now the whole thing makes sense. You see why we said Mishnah 1 came first, because that's where we learned the din that a oven that is Tamei is not going to protect. So we needed to introduce this Mishnah with that fact. So now everything makes sense in the Seder. Okay, so now continuing on from the first Mishnah, where we spoke about where you have the Tumah is at the bottom, but it's up against the avir. And we said it depends on the extent at which the dough will sag. Will the dough touch it or not? And that is another issue over here. How about if it's nowhere near the airspace of the oven, okay? It's like really deep underneath, and we find a sheretz like 6 inches under the oven bottom. The dirt of the oven bottom. So Asher Shenimtza Lamata Minuchushto Shel Tanur. Now, the problem is, how did that sheretz get where it is? It's got to be that it fell into the oven. Now, the Shaila is, what happened? Did it die in the oven and then gradually get covered because of ash and so on, and now it's deep under the oven? Or shall we assume that, no, it fell into the oven when it was alive, obviously, and flew in, and then it started digging in and burrowing in into the ground, and then when somebody lit the oven, it died? So the din is that you can assume it's tahar. Why? Shani omer chay nafal v'yachshav mit. It must be that it dug itself under, and that's why it's so deep. Now, how about if you find a tamei needle or a tamei tabat also deep underneath? Now, the only way they could have gotten there would have been through going through the avir of the tanur to get to the bottom of the tanur, right? So what's the din? The din is that it's tahar. Why? Because over there, I assume that they were already in place before I set the tanur down. Because it's not all that reasonable to say they fell into the top of the tanur, and how did they get, so how did they get deep underground? So it must be that they were under the ground. So ani omer, shom hayu achoba tanur, they didn't even come. But how about if you find it deep under the ashes in the tanur, so nimtzu be'efra mikleh, then I'd have to assume it's tummy, because, I mean, what am I going to say? That they were there before? How could they be there before? There were no ashes there that was before. So Mimela over there, it must be that they had fallen through the avir of the tanur, and since they are known to be tameim, therefore the whole thing is tummy. Now, we've got one very fascinating case that we didn't discuss until now, and that is, what's the halacha about a sponge? So remember, we talked about tuma that is belua. We talked about tuma that's inside of your mouth, which then the mouth, which is normally attached to your head, was inside of the tanur. How about if you have liquids that are belua inside of a sponge? The outside of the sponge is completely dry. If you squeeze the sponge, those liquids are going to come out. So what's the din of those liquids? A sfog shibala mashkin tameim. So this sponge swallowed wine, let's say that's tamei, but outside it's totally dry, v'nogov mibachutz, and the sponge falls into the avir. The halacha is that the tanur becomes tamei from the mashkim tameim. Remember that all mashkim tameim are matamei midrabbanan kelim because of the gzera of Mayonis Hazov. So if somebody would have had a chamber pot or something, it could have had actual urine in it or something, it would be matami b'diraitas, because that we were gozer. The reason is that even though currently it's completely dry, but since sof hamashke latzeit, it's basically not really balua. It's not as if it's inside of a living organism. The sponge is not a living organism. Therefore, it's not considered to be tuma balua. And it doesn't have any of its own mashkin that it would become bottle to. So basically, this mashkin is just like in a container. And this entire container is inside of the avir of the klicheres. And the din is that when an entire container is inside an avir klicheres, there's certainly no, even if it's a kli, it's not considered to be toch tocho. And certainly over here, where it doesn't have a din of a kli. Now, the same thing would be true if you've got mashkin tmeim that were absorbed into a vegetable. So let's say they were absorbed with, since we were talking about turnips today, we wouldn't want to change it for our kalim discussion. So in kalim, we also are using turnips as a kli. Okay, so it was absorbed by turnips, or it was absorbed by a reed, shogemi. Same thing, if it's completely dry on the outside, it doesn't matter, because these are not living organisms to be considered to be that the liquid is inside of something. It's sof mashke latzeit. And if it's sof mashke latzeit, then the fact that its surface is dry is irrelevant. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. These last two cases of the turnips and the reeds are not the same as a sponge. Because since a turnip does have its own internal liquid, as does a reed, so if it absorbed mashkin tmeim, they actually do become part of the turnip until they actually come out. And therefore, so long as the mashkin has not come out, it is considered to be inside of something else, and it's not mashke yet. Until it actually comes out, it doesn't have a din of a mashke. Okay, gentlemen, that finishes Mishnah 4 of the 9th parak of Masechet Kelim. L'chaim tovim l'shalom. Have a wonderful day, everybody. And thank you so much. Benny, yesterday, the second recording of Zoom was the Mishnah. I forgot to record on the MP3. So therefore, please take it off of the Zoom recording, if you don't mind, for yesterday. And today, unfortunately... Okay, fine. I'll send that to you. Yeah, right. It was, I'll send it to you. And today I also made a mistake and I started the recording of the MP3 a little bit late. If the Zoom recording of the Gemara is fine, you can use the MP4 of that. If not, then be mashlim the first few minutes from the Zoom onto the MP3. So I'll upload the MP3, but as you'll see, it starts like a minute or two in when I realized I had forgotten to start it. Okay, thank you so much, Rabbeni. You're still in London? Yep, I can see you're on the wrong side of the road. Okay.
Back in
Eretz Yisrael, huh? Oh, you're back home?
Yeah, blue sky.
Ah, so why are you... Oh, you're driving on the right side of the road. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. Welcome home. Kol Tov City. Welcome. Why, you just arrived at the airport?